The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Grains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined by Eric, the Deep State Operative.
Hi, and I just want to officially announce right now that I am replacing my SS tattoo with one of Jeffrey Epstein.
A bold and far less controversial decision. That's a good idea. Epstein has way less stink on him than the SS. It's very good. We're going to carry Maine in a landslide now, baby, let me tell you. And we're also joined by Steph. Hey, Steph.
I'm here.
She's here. She made it. Busy from fresh off her shift of destroying the East Wing of the White House. Steph is here.
With her bare hands.
With her, yeah, just ripping apart paintings of Abraham Lincoln with her bare hands.
That's right. Screaming the whole time that jet fuel doesn't melt steel bars.
I was trying to figure out a bit for that. I was trying to figure out what is my 9/11 talking point joke about the White House being destroyed.
I was thinking of making this joke myself, but because I'm such a 9/11 nerd, I know it wouldn't have actually been an accurate joke. Someone had posted a picture of like the construction going on at the White House, and it said Trump did what Osama bin Laden couldn't. And that is funny. And I was thinking of posting it too, but the reason I didn't is because Flight 93, they think it was either headed for the White House or the Capitol building. And most evidence points to the Capitol building. So I was like, I'm not going to make that joke because it's not accurate.
Said Donald Trump did what the British couldn't do in 1812?
But they did burn down the White House.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't they have something to do with the ice cream lady? Isn't there an ice cream named after one of the president's wives, Dolly something?
Dolly Madison.
I thought there was like some kind of ice cream.
There's some kind of like bakery company or something called that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact for everybody out there.
Oh. That's what this podcast is all about.
That's right.
Oh, and if anyone wants to, if you want to look me up on Patreon and check out my InfoWars board games for The Sims 4, I had a lot of fun making them, and I have an Alex Jones fleshlight for The Sims 4 too. So
I can't confirm the board games are funny. I like the one of Alex Jones. It was called Axis and Axis. Which, if you're not a video board game nerd like me, it's a reference to Axis and Allies.
Yeah. Oh, I think Axis and Allies is broken containment.
I don't know. I think it's still kind of like the kind of still considered the redhead a stepchild to Risk.
Risk is just so old and like also unplayable that I mean, not that Axis and Allies is any better. You better pack a lunch if you're going to play either of those games, because they are not ending anytime soon.
Yeah, when I played Risk, we would all take out our phones and take pictures so that we can come back in the next day and take off where we left, you know, where we were before.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. That's the problem with all the old timey games that are like just have been popular due to legacy. Every time I see like, oh, look, it's a reskin of Monopoly. Who doesn't want 4 hours of crippling tedium? Oh, man. Well,
you know, they didn't have TV back then. They had to do something right. While hours away.
They had to do something to grind the day away. Exactly. Which is why whenever that happens, I'm like, you do realize you can just play Catan and it's 45 minutes to a half hour and it's over. And you've actually completed the game and it's been fun. Whereas Monopoly is literally 4 hours and it all just comes down to some moron making a terribly bad trade or one guy getting lucky and getting a Monopoly on a not terrible section of properties. And then the game is over. I mean, it's just.
I was laughing because you reminded me of, I was playing Catan with a group of friends and, there, two of them there had just recently broken up, and the guy was just being a total dick about it. Like to the point like that his ex-girlfriend was like crying in the middle of the game. So me being the big chivalrous Goomba that I am, I decided, okay, I'm going to hit him where it hurts. So we're playing and he's like, okay, I need some sheep. I'm like, I have sheep. He's like, will you trade it for me? I'm like, no. He's like, well, here, I'll give you all this. I'm like, no. He's like, you got it? I'm like, I don't gotta. I don't have to make a trade with you if I don't want to.
Yeah.
And he was getting salty about it.
Yeah, I remember you telling that story, and then I told the story about the guy who, the lady who game through. It, when I was in an actual serious Catan tournament, and a lady game through because the kid was weepy, then he got to like 7 points while the rest of us were all at like 4, and then we played Catan correctly and caught up to him. And he was just like, I was going to win, and now it's close. And this old lady felt bad for him and game through. And I was just out of my mind, livid, because you can't do that in a competitive format. We're playing for real prizes here. It's like, hey, get some thicker skin, lady.
Whenever I tell an anecdote, I got to write it down, because I knew I had told that story recently, but I didn't realize it was to you guys, or I wouldn't have said it again.
No problem. Anyhow, I actually got a listener question, and I think we're going to just like do listener questions at the start of the show. If anyone ever sends one, DM me, DM the other co-hosts, contact us on, post a comment on Spotify or whatever, because yes. Eric reads those comments.
Yes.
But a Twitter account called No Angel messaged me and said, can you send me the Hillary face carving video? to which I told them, no, I cannot, but there are a lot of people who claim they can. So if you go out looking in this big, bad world of ours, you'll find plenty of people who've seen it and, weirdly enough, cannot get you a copy of it. But boy, if they did, you'd be scarred for life.
And get me a copy of LOL Superman while you're out there.
What I like so much about that is that these people will tell this story. They'll be like, this video is so disturbing that hardened NYPD officers committed suicide after watching it. And then I've watched it 3 times, and I'm fine.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. literally like the first 20 people who watched it blew their brains out. But you, the 21st person to have watched Frazzle Drip, you were just like, eh, whatever. Hey, yeah, they carved that kid's face off. Yeah, Hillary was wearing it. Oh, they're drinking the child's fear-infused blood. Ain't that a cliche? Rolling your eyes, just like, yeah.
Oh boy, this world we live in.
This magical world we live in. And again, that's like one of the big things that QAnon does to sell itself to its audience, is that the normies can't handle this shit, man. But us, the elect, the awake but not woke, we can handle this hard shit without like it breaking our brains.
Yeah,
because we're powerful. We're like the ultra cool people.
Yeah, that's like a big draw of conspiracy theories in general. But I do see it a lot more with QAnon. Is that it's like you are privy to information that most people wouldn't be able to accept. You are special because you know this secret knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The heroin. That's the heroin, man. Yeah. That's the heroin of the conspiracy theories. And you need more and you need more and you need more. And then.
Yeah, because you need more to get that sweet dopamine hit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I did 2 episodes with Spencer Watson, Truth Unrestricted, about conspiracy theory addiction. But yeah, we talked, and I remember that when I saw Zeitgeist and they were talking about controlled demolition of 9/11. You can hear I'm smiling, remembering the sensation. I in my head, I said to myself, oh, I'm so high. I gotta get into this, because I'd been off and on with the 9/11 stuff. But yeah, it gave me a rush and I kept chasing that rush, man. Chase the dragon.
That's how social media drags you in too. You're like, oh, I got a like, and your self-esteem, goes up 1 point.
Yeah, exactly. I've received 1 confirmation point.
Yes.
If I keep going, I could get 100. Oh my God. There's something like every now and then, it's weird because it feels like on the average, a lot of my posts don't get as many likes as they usually do. But every now and then I'll have something like break containment and get a ton of likes and it's crazy. And then I just have to remind myself, I'm like, dude, you're still way less popular than a 20-second video of an adorable kitten. like no matter how hard you're busting your ass to come up with the spiciest tweet you can think of.
Oh, I want to see it. I want to see a kitten video.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, no matter how hard I work, I'm still multiple tiers below adorable kitten.
Yeah. Well, do the Zoom thing that guy did in the one meeting where he turned into a kitten.
Oh, I can't turn it off.
Yes.
But, I say, yeah, that is one thing that brings me to earth real quick though, is like, I'll be feeling pretty good about myself and then I'll look over and I'll notice that like, I'll sit there and craft this tweet that I think is like brilliant and hilarious and poignant and makes a great point, and I'll get one like, and then I'll post a meme and get 500 likes because I posted it to some popular guy's account. It's like, okay, so it's cool that I got 500 hits, but it's for someone else's content.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so Trump's destroying the White House. That's very exciting.
After saying he wouldn't. So, I mean, it's like just take the opposite of whatever he says is the truth. It's crazy.
Yeah. What's wild about this is like so many people claimed that he was just like taking down this like overhang on the East Wing and like that was all that was being destroyed. And like the actual entirety of the East Wing wasn't being destroyed, and now it's all gone. Like we have Google Earth photos of overhead shots of the White House, and you can see like the main building, and then you can see the West Wing, and the East Wing is just gone. It's just been leveled to the ground.
And the goalposts move because these same people who are like, he's not going to destroy the entire East Wing. Now they're like, well, it's not like this is the first time that the White House has been rebuilt.
Yeah. Oh, Obama turned the tennis courts into a basketball court. It's like, I saw that one.
And then somebody else responded. Yeah. He painted a couple lines on a tennis court and installed a basketball hoop. He didn't right. tear down half the White House.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's always got to be what about Obama anytime he does anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's just that ridiculous that. Oh, Jackie Kennedy renovated the White House. And if you look at what Jackie said, it was really about like getting back to the tradition of the White House and its history and preserving and restoring that and honoring it. It is the exact opposite of what they're doing right now. It's really, really insane that they would say this, but of course they're going to say it because they're shameless.
Yeah.
They lie about everything.
And I hope whoever comes in after him, at least, I mean, they can't, obviously they can't get rid of the ballroom, but they at least make it less hideous on the inside than what he's got planned.
Yeah, if we can get rid of all the gold, we can just degoldify it.
Yeah, my mom was talking about it. She saw a picture of him and she's like, why is everything gold? And I'm like, have you ever seen pictures of his Manhattan, penthouse? It's the man thinks like he's Midas, King Midas. It's like everything he touches is gold. It's you can't buy taste. It's as simple as that. You can't buy taste.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really what it is.
And it's not even a year. We're not even a year in.
Yeah, it's truly magical. It's truly magical that we're not even a year into this crap, and this is what we're dealing with. And I mean, and as people are pointing out, one of the big things they're renovating the bunker in the White House.
Oh yeah, the one that he quote unquote investigated while there were protests going on outside.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So here's the quote from Jackie Kennedy. Everything in the White House must have a reason for being there. It would be sacrilege merely to redecorate it. A word I hate. It must be restored. And that has nothing to do with decoration. That is a question of scholarship. So yeah, like Jackie was like on top of this shit. the Kennedys did not just go around dynamiting various sections of the White House to put their stamp on it.
Well, that's why the CIA killed JFK, because he didn't want to renovate.
That's right. It's like, I'll give you a rose garden in your brain.
I was literally three words from bringing up Chucky the typewriter, and then you motherfuckers just came in off the top rope and crushed me. I was just going to talk about how, like, Chucky the typewriter was sitting there somewhere in the White House when they were redecorating it, and he was like, you motherfuckers.
That's right, that's right. Stephanie set up a pile driver, and then my entrance music came in for the interference.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, all of it, yeah. But, I mean, it's just so ridiculous that, again, they'll say anything. Obama redecorated. The Kennedys redecorated. Everyone does this. It's like, no, they didn't, and you know they didn't. You're lying, but you don't care that you're lying because that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you people are all about. It's just pathological, the need to defend Trump, no matter what he does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lying liars and the lies they tell.
Yep. That Al Franken book was great. I did very much enjoy it. But unfortunately, Al got caught, and that was the end of Al.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Such is life.
Yeah, too bad Franken wasn't a Republican. He'd still be in office right now.
Oh, or I mean, as we're going to get to it on the back end of this episode, if only he wasn't a hardcore lunatic progressive. Boy, would have he found his defenders then if he was living in the world we have now. Yeah. It's really crazy that, like, that's what we're dealing with. And then on top of the White House annihilation campaign, we have Trump busting out his pardon pen and commuting the sentence of George Santos for no fucking reason. And literally, if you read the Truth Social post where he talked about it, he was mostly complaining about Senator Blumenthal and him lying about stuff that happened to him. And then he was like, oh, yeah, but by the way, George Santos voted for most of the stuff I wanted, and for that reason, I'm commuting his sentence. Have a great day, George. Literally openly stating that crimes are okay as long as you vote for me. The rule of law in America is effectively dead.
Yeah, it's what was that? I can't remember what state it was, Missouri or Minnesota. But Trump was like, "I'm going to send them. I'm going to send them all the disaster relief money they need." And in a completely unrelated note, they voted for me three times.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. By the way, I'm a president for all Americans, except for the Americans I'm not the president for. They can go fuck themselves.
Does he even claim to be the president for everybody anymore?
No, but I mean, during the campaigns, like, some of his, like, his spokespeople would say that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's where we're at with that shit. He pardons Santos. And then today, he pardoned the guy that was running Binance, which was a giant crypto scam. And Trump pardoned Changpeng Zhao, I believe is the name. Again, I'm very bad with names, and even worse with non-English names, so I do apologize. But basically, this guy has admitted to sanctions violations. I'm reading from a tweet from Adam Cochran, where it says he had knowingly allowed groups like Hamas and Wagner to use Binance, had Binance partner with Trump's World Liberty Fi coin on their new stablecoin. He was partnered with a group that includes Trump's sons and operates at a Trump tower. He invested in these other these projects through YZI Labs, formerly Binance Venture Arm, run by his partner. Then he was pardoned by Trump less than a month later. He had also served his time. So what difference does his pardons makes? It lets him run Binance or other financial projects again and removes oversight requirements. So literally, they're just like letting him get his job back by pardoning him. So yeah, this is great. This is lovely. Again, pay to play. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Just naked criminality.